Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's talk more Bears-Packers with Paul Emig.
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Green and gold analyst Paul Emig is brought to you by Sprinkler Fitters Local 183, protecting life and property in Wisconsin since 1906. For career opportunities, go to sprinklerfitters183.org.
Schneider Orange Hotline is where Paul Emig is as we speak. What's going on, Paul?
Hey, if any news breaks, the DD to the Brewers while we're talking, feel free to interrupt me, all right?
Yeah, I will. Yeah, and then we'll talk some Brewers baseball during a Packers segment. I've done it before.
I'm in for whatever you want to do, man.
Been a while.
Yeah.
Here we go. Packers run the table, and they're in good shape. And they probably will, or is that a statement that you disagree with? Is this statement accurate? They probably will win their remaining three games.
It feels a bit bold. Mostly because you're going to Minnesota, a team that's playing quite well. The Packers haven't inspired confidence recently. Now, I will say, Tim, I heard your little preface there right before I came on. I'm of the belief, and, for better and for worse, Ted Thompson was of the belief. David Stearns is of the belief, if you want to split sports. You want to just get into the playoffs and see what happens. Because the playoffs are a wild card, no pun intended for the Brewers. But, in the NFL, you're going to play a one game. And, yes, the Packers looked like they didn't even belong on the field with San Francisco a few weeks ago. That doesn't guarantee that when those two teams play again, it's going to look similarly. Like football, especially, it's every game just has such a unique feel. There's so many differing parts and strategies that are all countering each other, and it's constantly a chess match. It's an incredible way to kind of say, could I list you reasons why San Francisco should beat Green Bay if they met again? Well, of course. All you have to do is go watch the film from that game. But I am of the belief you find a way to get in, and you don't become 10-3 by accident. Now, is this like an inspiring 10-3 team? I've had people tell me it's the worst 10-3 team they've ever seen. Fine. Even if that was true, so what? You're still 10-3 and you're still gonna, again, if they do run the table, Tim, or even if they go 2-1, they win two of the next three. You just had a 12-4 or 13-3 season. 13-3 definitely gets you the 2 seed, maybe the 1 seed. 12-4 might still get you there. I think no matter how the next three go, they've probably, I shouldn't say no matter what, because if they go 0-3, everything, flips on its head. But for the most part, you have set yourself up for, obviously making the playoffs and then maybe a very favorable playoff schedule. So I think that's probably exceeding every goal that Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur could have possibly had back in July when they all met for training camp.
Well, that's the mystery of it. Is it the fact that Packer fans not only want to win, but they want to win they want their team to win a certain way?
Yeah, it is. And I think every fan base wants the team to look a certain way. And again, there are plenty of things you can pick apart. Like I am by no means always the guy that's going to rain down sunshine on a bad team. But, I watched San Francisco play. Like, and there's a couple different ways. Like, I don't know how much, because they overlapped with the Packers on Sunday, that you got to see highlights of or see anything of the 49ers and Saints. And a lot of people, I think, left that game saying, oh, man, how do the Packers keep up with the Saints or the 49ers? Well, hey, both those defenses just gave up 46 and 48 points respectively. So apparently they can be scored on, at least in certain type of ways. I don't think there's a favorable matchup. I don't even know if it's a matchup in Green Bay at Lambeau Field or if it's on the road. I don't know that I would confidently say, oh, yeah, the Packers would beat Seattle. Oh, yeah, they would beat the 49ers. They would beat the Saints. At best, that's a coin flip type of situation. But they're positioned well. I mean, what would you rather be, Chicago? Would you rather be Dallas? You know, it's like there's these average teams that are 6-7 or 7-6. It has not been pretty. There's plenty of things that look really disjointed. The wide receiving group outside of Davante Adams is bad. The tight end group is bad. Mike Pettine, who started the year very hot, has been questionable in a lot of ways as a defensive coordinator. I mean, this is far from a flawless team, but, you know, you're still 10-3 and you're still sitting pretty as a number two seed. So I guess it honestly depends on a fan's perspective as whether they view that, you know, glass half full or glass half empty.
All right, so they get the Bears this Sunday, and Mitch Trubisky finally busted out his wheels, and he rushed for 63 yards, 10 attempts, against the Dallas Cowboys on Thursday night. Yeah. Prior to that, had not had more than 20 yards rushing all season. And The last 2 years, he's had 13 such games in a Bears uniform. So obviously the last couple of years, they've allowed him to get in motion a little bit. He hadn't up until the Dallas game. What do you look for the Packer defense to adjust to with his potential of running the football?
Well, I think the benefit, if you're Mike Pettine and you're putting together your game plan, is I'll be honest, if I was Dallas and I had seen that long of a streak of Trubisky not utilizing that part of his game, I wouldn't have game planned for it. But now that it's on film, you can. And I think what that tells you is that the Bears accurately looked at that matchup Thursday against Dallas as a must win. If they had any hope of staying alive and showing, like, hey, that, you know, especially with Matt Nagy, I mean, and job security, and that Trubisky is a quarterback you can build around, or he's not, or whatever the case should be, like, they put all their cards on the table, and it paid off. They won. I mean, they kept things afloat, and it worked. The benefit that if you're Green Bay a week later is saying, oh, okay, so for whatever reason, you've been saving that, or, you know, there's another version of Mitch Trubisky that you're going to try to get back to get him to be more comfortable and to try to get the offense rolling. So, I mean, if the question is, you know, does Mike Pettine plan for non-running, you know, non-mobile, non-whatever Trubisky, or the guy who showed up against Dallas, I think that told me that Nagy is going to try to incorporate that part again into what Trubisky does. So I'm very much accounting for it.
NFL Network recently released that interview with Mike McCarthy, and your thoughts on that? Mike got rather emotional.
Yeah, I mean, there was some dramatic, sad piano music behind his voice. I mean, it was quite a production, obviously. They turned it up to 11. You know, I put something on Twitter earlier, Tim, because, okay, the question I asked on Twitter in a poll was just like, you know, do you care what Mike McCarthy is saying or doing, or, like, is there interest in Mike McCarthy? And I wonder, Tim, if there was, like, a quantifiable way to say, when a head coach is a head coach of an organization for blank years, I care about that person for an extended period of time once he's gone, right? And I don't know what that number is. Like, you're always, you know, if you're a Bears fan or a Bears analyst or whatever else, you're always going to be talking about Mike Ditka. You know, like, if they let go of Matt Nagy in, you know, 3 seasons, are you really going to care? But Mike McCarthy has a road named after him, and the quarterback who he spent more than a decade with is still the quarterback in Green Bay. So I get all of the associations there. I will tell you that the Mike McCarthy that I knew on the podium was a different Mike McCarthy than I knew, you know, in smaller settings at combines when you would sit around a table at a restaurant, yourself and 3 or 4 others, and Mike McCarthy. Mm-hmm. It was just a very different person. So knowing him a little bit behind the scenes that I did, I mean, I'm not surprised to see his emotion and his candor and a lot of those things. I think he believed pretty much in his whole heart that, you know, it was the best decision for him to take a year away from football and back in whenever that was in June or July, that he was doing a couple interviews and his family was happy to have him there and everything else. But, you know, some guys they have a calling, and, you know, it's like, you know, what your life would be like if you for a year, you know, couldn't call Brewers baseball. Like, what you'd be like, oh, hey, you know, you want to interview me for MLB Network?
I'll cry to get a job for sure.
Heck yeah, man. I mean, heck yeah. it's like, at a certain point, you're just going to miss it. And, that's part of who Mike McCarthy is. It's part of, you know, we all have an identity of what defines us. And, I wasn't surprised to see the emotion. I guess I wasn't 100% convinced before it that he wanted to coach again, that he was going to coach again. Would he go the Brian Billick route?
We're convinced now.
Oh man, he's working next year. Yeah. Is he a head coach or is he an offensive coordinator? You know, we'll see how flexible he is to get back into football. But it was a good glimpse into it that probably from a production standpoint was a bit over dramatized with pianos and mm-hmm. All the other stuff. But it was a nice glimpse into maybe his last. I don't know. It's been a year. I think it's been a year. When's the anniversary of his firing? This week? Last week?
Yeah, somewhere in here.
Already
a calendar year. Yeah. All right, so. Paul, we got to turn you loose here. Appreciate the time, and you'll be on the Bill Michaels show again, tomorrow?
I think, is Bill back tomorrow, Joe? Yeah, probably.
No, you're going to get a different voice. You're going to get Kevin Holden tomorrow.
He is tomorrow.
Oh, my goodness.
With a Kevin different Holden. Line yeah. of questioning.
Yes, yes. All right, Paul, have a good night.
See you guys. You too.
Yeah, there he is, Paul Emig, Green and Gold analyst on the Bill Michaels Show on the Schneider Orange Hotline.
Schneider hiring drivers right now. They work hard. You work hard. They treat you fair for 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Call them at 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.